Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Now it's time for companies to watch, and we're putting a spotlight on how, you know, we've seen this crackdown on Alibaba and its financial services affiliate Ant Group happen over the past couple of weeks, alleged monopolistic practices. Beijing is now turning its attention to Tencent.
Yeah, wow. Their business spans gaming, social media, mobile payments and online banking. And therein may lie the problem.
Indeed. Chinese regulators announced last Friday that 12 companies, including Tencent, have been fined for making acquisitions without notifying authorities, saying the moves violate anti-monopoly rules.
Well, after the news, the stock fell by 4.4% and dropped more than 4% the session after that. And this fueled a whopping $62 billion wipeout of the stock that one brokerage says obliterated most of the value of its online finance business.
But you know, unlike Alibaba, right, and Alibaba often tries to acquire a controlling stake of companies it's investing in, Tencent prefers to remain a minority shareholder of the companies which it invests in.
And according to a Chinese research group, by the end of February 2020, last year, Tencent had a stake in 880 companies.
Okay. Well, the strategy as a passive venture capital investor, will it help Tencent avoid Alibaba's fate, you think?
Or is this just the tip of the iceberg, maybe, when it comes to China's campaign against the technology giant?
Let's find out more from Brock Silvers, who is CIO of Kyan Capital. Brock, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Great to be back again.
Let's start off with Tencent. Well, that's the company we're putting focus on anyways. It's withstood scrutiny before, but it is, you know, still one of China's biggest and most high-profile and influential companies. Can Tencent, right now, looking at the situation, how are they going to hold their own and rise above these issues?
Well, look, Tencent could continue to do well. It's a large company, real business. I think it's reasonably well-run, and it has tremendous financial resources. So all of that is going in its favor, but it also faces, you know, very real political and regulatory risk, and those risks are hard to quantify, hard to model. So we don't know how that'll play out, but look, Beijing doesn't want Tencent to fail. So it certainly could revive its fortunes.
In terms of the stock, we saw a massive sell down, and we saw, you know, we're talking about billions of US dollars worth. Is this something that the firm can rise again from?
Yeah, look, I certainly do think so. It has a lot going for it, and a lot of that portfolio of investments still looks very promising, even if some of the more fintech-oriented investments are now more questionable than they were.
All right. Let's dive a little bit into Beijing's crackdown. I mean, is it solely aimed at reining in monopolies and strengthening the financial system from the risk of fintech? What's your opinion, you know, looking at the situation on the surface?
You know, I generally see the financial regulators as pretty smart and mostly pretty reasonable. China's economy has just been growing in ways for which they didn't have a set of rules. And the regime has decided that uncontrolled fintech growth was a risk to the larger economy. Now, managing fintech risk seems to be the main driver, but, you know, to be honest, the massive accumulation of wealth and power by individuals may also have been another important driver.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Brock, because what I was quite curious about was the differences here between what's happening with Alibaba and Ant and what's happening with Tencent. Can you just compare and contrast the two stories for us and tell us what's different?
Sure. You know, Alibaba and Ant have more or less been majority acquirers. Tencent has more or less been a minority acquirer. Now, I've always thought the minority strategy was smarter, as, in my opinion, these companies often lack the management depth and expertise to run a huge plethora of disparate operations. Nonetheless, I'm not sure that from a regulatory standpoint, that difference will really ultimately mean anything, because we should look at the nature of the investments and not necessarily the amount. If any of these companies cross perceived red lines of risk, even as a minority, that company, I think, should expect pushback, and that's what we've been seeing with Tencent.
Right. Just talking about Tencent, last year we saw Tencent forking out some, what, $12 billion to buy shares in 163 businesses. So that pretty much makes it the biggest spender on startups among China's non-financial companies. Brock, how might the viability of this sort of aggressive growth strategy be shaken by Beijing's efforts to monitor and control its big tech groups? Will we see them invest less then?
Well, look, you know, 163 investments in a year is just a furious, almost unbelievable pace. But those businesses exist, and they won't cease to exist. The immediate risks, I think, are reorganization, forced divestiture, or even, as we saw with Ant Group, lower resulting growth. But this is also a pretty diversified portfolio, and I would imagine that final result won't be so different from our originally expected result. The thing to keep in mind is that Tencent used to be a gaming company. Mm. Now it's a venture capital investment firm with gaming interests.
Okay.
I think that's a fascinating aspect of all of these companies, is how they're metamorphosing into something other than what they began as. We're speaking to Brock Silvers, who is CIO at Kaiyuan Capital. Brock, let's talk about the fact that Tencent has obviously an interest to do what it can to avoid this kind of rigorous regulatory scrutiny in investments and operations. What are their options?
Look, there's probably nothing Tencent would want more right now than a bit of regulatory peace and quiet. But these are political issues, and Tencent, I think, has a pretty modest potential impact here. You know, in the U.S., you'd hire lobbyists, sue the government, take your fight to the media, none of which works in a Chinese market. Mm. The best thing that Tencent can do defensively is to be a good corporate citizen in the eyes of Beijing, to avoid catching regulatory attention, and really hope the economy rebounds in general.
If I'm an investor, what should I do right now?
Well, we don't know that the crackdown will continue in terms of Tencent, but it also isn't out of the question. Now, if it does continue, there's going to be a continued further market impact. But don't lose sight of the fact that Tencent is still quality, and if Beijing goes overboard in the coming months, we may see some worthwhile long-term entry points. Now, I was fairly early in predicting that a reconstituted Ant IPO might lose up to half of its prior valuation, mm-hmm. and I wasn't far off, but I don't think we're going to even approach that level with Tencent.
Yeah, I was really curious about that, actually, because, I mean, this sector in general is on a tear, right? Isn't it in the wider interest for Beijing to make sure that there is some balance, some yeah. harmony here in terms of the mood vis-a-vis Beijing and the companies themselves and allowing them to get on to do what they do and do so well?
Yeah, these large mega tech IPOs should be, in many ways, good for Beijing. But the administration decided at some point that the financial risk outweighed those benefits and came down with a hard line. I think ultimately we'll see something more middle ground.
Is it just financial risk or is there also reputational risk?
There is some. And as I said, it also probably rankles some people that so many individuals can become so wealthy and powerful. But I think the main driver was financial risk, and Beijing simply thought if they don't get a handle on that, it could be a risk to the larger economy, which then threatens perhaps the legitimacy of the ruling party.
We've been speaking with Brock Silvers, who's the CIO of Kaiyuan Capital. Brock, thanks so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.